Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back to All of It. If you live in Brooklyn or Queens and have been taking advantage of the warm weather by walking around your neighborhood, you've almost likely seen these Vespa-like scooters with the word Revel written in big letters on the front. If you feel like they appeared out of nowhere, you are spot on. The startup Revel officially launched just over a month ago, bringing its fleet of mopeds from 68 to 1,000. The launch was planned to take advantage of the L train shutdown, which was mostly averted. But as we all know, the MTA still has work to do on the whole subway system. And New Yorkers, they seem to be open to alternatives. But at the same time, there are these huge safety concerns in the city following 15 cyclist deaths so far this year. So to explain those little black and blue mopeds and where they fit into the New York transportation landscape, I'm joined by senior transportation reporter at The Verge, Sean O'Kane. Sean, welcome to All of It.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So you've had firsthand experience with these mopeds. Can you describe them a little further, more than just their black and blue?
Yeah, I mean, if you've ever seen a Vespa, they look pretty similar to that. The scooters are actually made by a Chinese company called Niu, N-I-U. And they are speed limited to 30 miles an hour. You don't need a motorcycle license to ride them like you would a full-blown Vespa. You do need a driver's license. And they're pretty nimble. They're pretty quick. And they're definitely fun to ride. But, you know, it can be somewhat of a steep learning curve, certainly more than maybe even a bicycle or a kick scooter like we've seen in a lot of other cities around the country.
So where are they exactly, and why did Revel place them in these particular locations?
They run from pretty much Astoria all the way down to Sunset Park and out basically to the east edge of Prospect Park. Like if, you know, out in Brooklyn, at least in Queens, they're not as widespread. And they were placed there most likely because those are probably the best places to make money. Mm-hmm. I would imagine, you know, you've got some really densely populated areas like downtown Brooklyn. But it's also, you know, along the G, you've got like a sort of better like income distribution, I guess, if you're going for mm-hmm. higher income people. And you can ride them outside of, if you look at, once you sign up for the service, you can look at the map in the app that Revel released, and there's sort of a boundary that shows you the outer edge of where the scooters will be dropped, but you can ride them outside of those. You just have to park it back inside that boundary. So you can't go on highways. You can't go on bridges. You wouldn't really want to anyways, knowing that you can't go more than 30 miles an hour. But there is a little bit of flexibility about where you can ride them.
So how the city hasn't always been not that receptive to e-bikes and mm-hmm. different bike services. But so how did City Bike being the exception, how did Revel get in there?
I mean, they started really small. Like you said, they started with a pilot that was really limited to one small area. They only had 68 scooters. It was very much a sort of trial and error kind of thing where they were even using a different type of scooter from a different manufacturer before deciding that they wanted to go with something different. And I think just keeping it for 10 months, not really pushing any boundaries of where they were putting them or what they were doing with them. I think that just sort of let them coexist with the city. And then, you know, according to this two co-founders, they did a lot of sort of on the ground work. They've met with a lot of city officials. They'd say they met with every police precinct in the coverage area and that they've talked to a lot of these police chiefs, and especially because that's so important when a new service shows up. You don't want people just starting to get ticketed because the cops don't understand what's going on. And we know that there's some issues with how they ticket e-bike riders, delivery people, and even just bike riders in mm-hmm. general, and the trouble that we've had with bike lanes here. So they say they did a lot of on-the-ground work, and that seems to have borne out. Like they're, you know, I've ridden by a lot of cops on them. Like, I don't really get a second glance from them or anything like that. I think for the most part, anecdotally, I think people have been following most of the guidelines, you know, not riding in the bike lane, treating these like actual vehicles, parking them well enough, hopefully. And so it seems like that groundwork has paid off, and that seems to be how they were able to spread so quickly.
Well, it's interesting you laughed because of where they're parking, because other cities have had issues. Mm-hmm. with the way people, how they've been treating the bikes and where they've been leaving the bikes. Whether yeah. cities have tried out these mopeds and decided, that's not for us.
I mean, there's a service in San Francisco called Scoot that has, you know, held it together pretty well. There's some, a lot of international cities that have, like, you know, really taken, these have really taken hold, like Paris or in Germany. There's a couple cities that have some scooter services like this. Because these are like vehicle grade vehicles and things that you need a license of some sort to drive, I think they kind of stick around a little bit longer. There's a little bit more accountability involved. And so they're not quite as, they don't grate as much as sort of the kick scooters that we've seen in a lot of other cities where people are just sort of tossing them on the sidewalk and getting in people's way.
My guest is Sean O'Kane, senior transportation reporter at The Verge. I'm not laughing. I'm just saying, I know that that's been an issue, that people just leaving them on the scooters on the sidewalk. And like, apparently it happened with a couple of these as well.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been perfect for sure. I mean, I've seen a bunch. There was one parked up on the sidewalk next to a beer garden in my neighborhood in South Brooklyn. And there's definitely a lot of people who have parked them like you would park a car. Really, you're supposed to back it into the curb, take up as little space as possible. I think that's one of the reasons why they were able to win over the city officials so easily, is that when they're parked properly, you can really see that scooters are really only taking up a lot of dead space that wasn't being used anyways. It's not like you're really getting in someone's parking spot and taking it up. Like, a lot of time, anybody who's driven in the city knows that frustration of looking for a parking spot and seeing only half of one or a quarter of one. And you know that that's always going to happen. So like, these scooters really just kind of slot in there. And I think that's pretty helpful. But yeah, there have definitely been some issues with that. I mean, the good thing is, again, like, there's a lot of accountability involved here. They will go. One thing that the CEO actually told me yesterday is that if someone does park one of these scooters in a, you know, improper manner, and the next rider comes up to the scooter and says through the customer support service in the app, "Hey, this was, I found this parked weird," or whatever, they will reach back out to that person who rented it and parked it that way and say, "Hey, listen, you know, next time make sure it's 15 feet away from the fire hydrant, not 5, or next time don't park it on the sidewalk."
Have they had to boot anybody?
I'm not sure. They're kind of a little tight-lipped. They're really talking more about the success of it, which has been, you know, according to them, even more than they expected. They have something close to 200,000 trips already in just 5 or 6 weeks. And
how is it cost-wise?
So it costs $19 to sign up for the service, just outright. They say a lot of that cost is going to the ID check that they have to do. But they told me yesterday that they're getting 750 signups a day. So they're pulling in something like $15,000 a day on revenue alone, just from the signup. And then once you sign up, it's 25 cents per minute, not per mile. And 10 cents if you pause it, quote unquote, pause it. So like, if you stop somewhere to run into a bodega, you can pause it. It only costs you 10 cents a minute, which is helpful, because then if you have it for maybe 20 or 30 minutes, you can run some errands, and it'll only cost you maybe like 10 bucks in the end.
How do the CEOs, the folks there, talk about safety? Because we've been talking about these cyclist accidents. You know, I looked at one study that said from the U.S. National Library of Medicine that in terms of mopeds, that city infrastructure wasn't built for them. That it's not even, it's just that the cities weren't meant to have this many people on mopeds who maybe don't know how to drive them. How are they dealing with safety?
I mean, their big argument is that these are more capable to keep up with traffic than, you know, anything else, even like an electrified bike, and that will help, because you're just more able to get out of the way of something that you see. But it's tough. Like, you really, they offer free lessons when you sign up. So if you've never ridden something like this before, I would definitely recommend doing that. They do them out of Bushwick. They actually said they just hired 3 more people this week to give more lessons, because they have more demand for it than they thought they were going to. And so it's tough. It's, you know, there are helmets in the thing, in the, that come with the scooter. You're supposed to wear them per their regulations and everything. Like, please definitely wear them. I've seen some people who haven't, and that's really scary. Even though they're speed limited to 30 miles an hour, that's just a really scary thing to risk. You know, they're saying all the sort of right things, but there's only so much they can do to protect people. They have to ride responsibly.
And if you ride, you're responsible for all the tickets.
Yes. For 24 hours after you park the thing, you're on the hook. So,
They're going to grow a little bit, you think, this company?
I think they're in pretty good shape. They've shaped it up pretty well, and, you know, we'll see. They're sticking for 1,000 scooters for now, so they're not growing anytime soon.
Sean O'Kane, senior transportation reporter at The Verge, thanks for sharing your reporting.
Thank you.
You're listening to Olivet on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. I'll meet you back here next time.